Mishlei Tet Vav, Psukim Chavav Tachav Gimel, Simcha Leish Mane Piv, that people enjoy hearing themselves talk. But that is what he says in Pasuk Aleph is Atavelet Simcha Lechaser Leib. That's the foolishness. That's the joy to those that don't understand. But just listening to yourself means you're always right. You never lose an argument in your own head, right? And you're kind of discussing it. But a devar b'ito, a word said at the right time, mata will result in good. That happens when you listen to other people who telling you things. As the Mitzvah David says, simcha is kol ishi samach b'imrei fiv. Everyone is happy with the things that they say. Kim tuklo etzat nafsho, because your advice to yourself always sounds good, always feels sweet. But a devar b'ito, this is Ezra ha'itza, that what advice you're learning is she'avo b'ito, that comes the right time. Matel v'no'atzim is great for those who are getting that advice. Be prepared to listen to others, as Kenneth Blanchard. You ever hear of him? He's like one of these guys who speaks all the time about management and wrote The 1 Minute Manager.
Wasn't there a guy named Svi Blanchard here?
I don't know. Who's that?
Remember them.
I don't know who that is.
I think he teaches at Academy, or I forget where he taught. I know he was at WashU for a while.
Svi Blanchard, I think, used to be part of CLAL. Do you know what CLAL is, Danny?
The Jewish education?
No, CLAL was in New York with Rabbi Kula. I think they started it, or.
No, there was a guy before him.
Okay.
From YU. I'm trying to blame on his name.
Yeah, I don't think this guy's Jewish here, but his
Well,
famous
Svi
quote is that,
Blanchard is definitely Jewish.
yeah, I found it's Svi there, is that none of us is as smart as all of us. You don't know anything, but I read that, I immediately thought, okay, that's not always right, because you can't heed every possible advice. You may have to listen to others, but you got to have some sense about what to accept. And knowing what to listen to is one of the themes of book one, right? You have all these hachamot street calling out in the streets, you know, to listen to, because we all know that a camel is a horse designed by a committee.
Yeah.
So there's a balance there. But don't think you can get everything right. And that motto, so once you've listened to others and doing the, and trying to do the right thing, it leads to the ultimate reward. This is the focus of what we'll talk about. Pasuk Dalet, Orach Chaim Laman Lamal Lamaskio. The path of life goes upward for the wise, for the intelligent. The mansur, so that he can avoid mish'ol mata, from sheol, from the grave below. And sheol is often translated as the grave, death, poetic term for death. But you can't, the mansur, you can't avoid death. Death's inevitable. Sheol can be avoided because it has a specific meaning in Tanakh. We'll see that not in this week's parsha, but next week's parsha, when Yosef is sold into slavery, and Yaakov mourns for him, thinks he's dead, and says, all of his children tried to console him, and Yaakov refused to be consoled. And he said, so I will go down to Sheol in mourning. And his father cried for him. The sense of going down to Sheol, and you've lost hope. And the parsha after that, when the brothers try to bring Binyamin down to Egypt, Yaakov similarly says, my son cannot go with you, because his brother Yosef died. And he's the only one left. The Karoa son, and some disaster will happen. But Derek on the way, but a temet sevati, and you'll bring my gray haired head down, be a gon sheola, in agony down to Sheol. Again, the sense of Sheol is a punishment. And strikingly, with Datan and Aviram, they rebel against Moshe, and what happens to them? Batiftach aretz piha, the earth opened up. And swallowed them up, but they have called Adam Asher Lakorach, they called Aruchush, and swallowed up their households and everything they had. Vayerdu hem v'kol ha'shelahem, and they all went down, chayim, alive, she'ola, to she'ol. V'tichas alehem ha'aretz, and the earth covered them up. V'yavodu mitoch kol, and they were lost from the community. So their punishment wasn't just tivla otam, that they were swallowed up. It's vayerdu chayim she'ola. She'ol is not just a poetic synonym for death, it's a bad death, it's punishment. Shem says that in Rajazino, ki ish karchaba api, if there's a fire burning in my nostrils, but he cut out she'ol tachtid and burns as far as she'ol below. But tochal eretz v'olah, and it will consume the land, but hate most de'arim, and will burn up the foundations of the mountains. As Rashi says, what she'ol is, kipshuto, pshat of that, lashon keber, it means the grave. That Yaakov is saying, I will mourn even as I die. I want to go to the as I go to the grave. Umidrasho, but the Medrash says it's Gehenna, which doesn't help to know. We have to know what Gehenna is here. What does Sheol mean? It's a state of silence. This means losing the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's why Datan Aviram, it's Vayavodu mitoch kol. They were lost. Tehillim uses that term all the time. It says in Tehillim Vav, ki ein ba-mevet zichracha, after death, no one can remember God, v'sheol miyodalach. In Sheol, no one acknowledges you. Or Perek Lamed, Shem elita mish'ol nafshi. You saved my soul from Sheol, chayteni mor dibor, you brought me out of the pit. Ma'betza b'dami, b'ritera shacha. What benefit is there to my silence when I go down to destruction? Hayilcha afar, I gave me techa, I can't thank you. And in Mishlei, we've seen that the synonym for Sheol, we saw that last year, that the synonym is Abaddon, being lost. So it's Sheol v'Abaddon neged Hashem. Hashem sees who's going to be to go to Sheol and Abaddon, being abandoned. Or as Rashi says, when Hashem talks about karet, being cut off, Hashem says, "Avadati, I will cause it to be lost." L'fisha umer karet, to be cut off. Kol makom, it says that all over in the Torah. Any adamah, who I don't know what that is. Kishu umer avadati, when Hashem says, "I will make you lost." Avadati. L'mara karet she'enu ela avadan. The karet means avadan, and that's what Sheol is, being cut off from Hashem. And the reward corresponding to that is not to be cut off, be taken by Hashem, as Tom says, "Af Elokim yifden nafshi miyad Sheol." God will save him, Sheol ki yichacheni zela, because he will take me forever. So after death, there you have two models: the Sheol and yichacheni, be taken by God. Which brings up the interesting question: whether there's an explicit idea of olam haba, of life after death, immortality of the soul in Tanakh. And academics say, nope, that's a foreign concept that came later. There's nothing in the Tanakh about there. But I disagree, because lots of places it seems pretty explicit. You got to work really hard to not see like Olam Haba in Tanakh. Daniel says explicitly, Rabbim Yishnei Admat Efer Yakitsu, many of those who sleep in the earth will awaken. These for eternal life, the Daron Olam, and those for eternal misery. And in Kohelet, Shlomo talks about explicitly in the beginning, he explicitly says, there is no such thing as Olam Haba, there's no immortality of the soul, we all just die, and then it's over. And this is called Perek Gimel. Yimikre b'nei Adam, u'mikre b'ema, what happens to human beings, what happens to animals, it's the same thing. The death of one is like the death of the other one. They have the same life spirit. And there is no advantage of human beings or animals. It's all hevel. It's all pointless. Everything ends up in the same place. Everything starts from dust, dirt. And everything ends up dirt. Who knows whether the human spirit arises higher? Rakhbe ma yered ti lamatel aretz, and just it's the life of the animal that ends up in the earth. Riti ki en tov me'asher yismach adam masav. I've seen that. Therefore, there's no reason for you to be happy with what you do. Ki yuchel kol. That's whatever happens. That's fate. Ki mi v'yere l'ropa mashiach acharav, because no one will allow you to see what happens afterwards. That's the beginning of Kohelet. That's when he's all negative and depressing and we're all going to die. There's no point. But if he's arguing against it, then the concept clearly existed. So he's arguing. I mean, so obviously they had at the time of Kohelet this idea of the Ruach B'nei Adam Ha'olah Hi Lamala, the spirit arises, goes higher after death. Because Kohelet is all about opposing heretical ideas and rejecting them. And in the end, he concludes, in fact, the soul will return to its creator. This is in Perek Yud Bet. And the soul returns to the dirt, to the earth, where it came from. But the soul returns to Hashem who gave it. And we noted that this is different from Tchiyat. This is not the idea of Tchiyat HaMetim, it's a different idea. That's the idea of coming back into the body. This is Rambam's Olam Haba, completely non-physical state. And he talks about, and we're going to look at the Rambam on this in detail. But he starts from a couple of Gemaras in Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol nevi'im kula nevu'u ela yimot Mashiach. That the nevuot about how great things are going to be in the end times, that's talking about what we call yimot Mashiach. Restoration of the kingdom, building the Beit Midash, well, Olam Haba, but the actual Olam Haba, Ayin, the Yeshaya says, Ayin L'Ra'atah, it's never been visualized. We don't know what that means. The Gemara in Brachot says it similarly, Margal B'Fumei D'Rav, like that's a common expression, a Margal B'Fumei D'Rav, it's a pearl in Rav's mouth. This is the thing you like to say. Lo Ka Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not like this world. Olam Haba ain't bo lo achila, lo shtia, lo priya, rviya, lo masa, lo matan, lo kina, lo sina, lo tachrut. Olam Haba doesn't have eating, drinking, no physical activity, no business, no jealousy, no emotions. Tzadikim yotzvim, tzadikim will simply sit, beratzet atarotehem et brosham, with their crowns on their heads, v'nenim yiziv hashchina, and they will enjoy the aura, the light from God. Namrazin says when the Zakanim went up to Har Sinai, they saw God and it was as though they were eating and drinking. The Rambam expands on this. The ultimate good that awaits the tzaddik. That's what we call Olam Haba. That's an existence that has no death. Good without any bad. The Torah says, that means a world that is all good. You will live long as an olam shekulo aruch that lasts forever. The reward for the righteous is to have this Olam Haba. The punishment for the wicked is not to have Olam Haba, but simply be cut off. Here's a mentioned idea about suffering after death. It's simply, you're gone. And that's what the ultimate punishment is. If you're done, if you don't earn this Olam Haba, who admit she'eno chayel la'olam, that's it, death is permanent. It's cut off. That's karet. Avad k'beiman is lost just like the animals. Animals don't go to heaven. And that's when the Torah threatens with karet. That's what it means when it says he karet, he karet, and nefshehi, it will surely be cut off. Cut off in this world, cut off in the next world. That soul that leaves the body while I'm in this world, in a zochel doesn't get to the olam haba, gam in olam haba yikarei cut off from the olam haba as well. It continues, olam haba ein ba guf ubiya. In olam haba, there are no bodies, no physical nature whatsoever. El nafshot atzidikim bilvad below guf malchashar. There, just simply what we would call a soul, completely spiritual, non-corporeal being, like angels. And since there's no physical nature, that's what it means, that there's no eating, no drinking, and none of the things that the goof needs. That what the Gemara says, that there's no eating, no drinking, and none of the things that the and they'll have their crowns, the Chachamim will sit with the crowns on their heads, the Nenem, and simply enjoy the presence of God. Yoshvin, and when it says they're sitting, they're achida amro. That's a metaphor. It's figurative. Yoshev means to be exist. They will simply be. Without any effort. When it says their crowns, dat. It's their knowledge, it's their intellect. And that through which they warrant it. Getting this eternal reward, mitsuya by Maham, that's what they have here, Tarashalim, that's the crown, as it were. We'll just be isolated intellects in the presence of God. That's Rambam's idea of Olam Haba. When a Kamash, Magadolim, and the punishment, that's the ultimate punishment, Shadikaretan Nefesh, is being cut off from that, losing that. Ze'avadon, and this is what it means to be avadon, to be lost. Husha korna to neviim derech mashal be'er shachat, that the neviim called it metaphorically the pit of destruction. Ye'kliyash she'en achreya tekuma, and that's being destroyed without any hope of returning. Yafsed she'en chazer l'olam, and a loss that never comes back. Then he adds at a point, but what he understands, how he understands olam haba. When it says it's the world to come, it doesn't mean that doesn't exist right now. And this world is going to be destroyed, and then we'll have a world of olam haba. That's not what it means. A lot of other Rishonim have that image, like that this world ends, and then we have this idea of an olam. But it says no, we have this world the way we live now. We have Yimot Mashiach, which will still be in this world, but with restoration of the Beit HaMikdash. And then he has the idea of Tchiyat HaMetim, where the dead will come back to life with physical bodies, but that's nothing to do with Olam Haba. And Devar Kit. Talking about something completely separate. El Harehu Matsui Bo'med, it's something that exists right now, but it's where we exist after death. Lo Kuro Olam Haba, El B'nei She'ot HaChayim, V'ayim Adam Achar Chayon Lazeh. It's called Olam Haba to come, meaning it comes after our existence here. This world exists with beguf and nefesh, body and soul together. That's where we start, and we earn this closeness to Hashem, this ultimate devekut to Hashem. So that's when our pasuk here says, "Orach chayim lamaskil," that the path of life goes upward to the wise, for the intelligent. The mansur mish'ol mata, and it saves him from sh'ol, that if you take the right path, you'll be saved from sh'ol. You'll be saved from being cut off. You'll get this ultimate reward of being higher and higher, close to Hashem. And that's the goal, to be neni mizi v'shchina, simply be there as pure souls, basking in the presence of God. And Ramchal, Mesir Hashem, says that similarly, that zihirut. That's what it means to be zahir, to be careful, to be making sure you do the right thing. Darkav. You have to watch what you're doing, think about what you're at, what way you're acting. Azov abadan. To make sure that you don't abandon your soul to this danger of being cut off, of being lost. And that's what I think this whole section is all about, is how do I make sure I'm staying on that right path that ends up with. Olam Haba avoids the shoal. Joel turns now, using the metaphor of bayit, literally a house, but this sort of the spiritual environment includes that, and you know that environment of including ne'anim b'ziv hashchina, basking in the presence of God, and uses this word of a bayit, as Malbim says, kol zeh mashal. This is all metaphoric. Al ha'bayit ha'militzi, on the figurative house. Shu ha'bayit beit ha'nefesh u'moneh, it's where the soul exists. So here's our perek. Next, last part we're going to deal with is starts at Beit Geyim Yisach Hashem. God uproots the house of the arrogant, Vietsev Gvul Almana, and establishes the boundaries, the borders of the widow. Tovat Hashem Machshavot Ra. God hates, it's an abomination, all bad, evil thoughts. Betarim Imrei Noam, and good words are pure. Ocher beito, someone who literally muddies, fouls their house, botzea betza, a botzea betza, someone who is interested only in profit and making money, will be ocher beito, will foul their home, posnei matana, but hating gifts, yechia will live, have ongoing existence. And this, or the first pasuk, yatzev gvul amana, establishes the boundaries of the widow. It's taken the Gemara as a metaphor for the restoration of Eretz Yisrael. That's Gemara Brachot, Tanur Rabbanan, Haroah Batei Yisrael Bishuvan. If you see homes of Israel as they're settled, Omer, you say a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Matziv Meitziv Gvul Amana. Establishes the boundaries of the world. Ever say that bracha?
No, when are you supposed to say this, Braha?
That's interesting. The Gemara says it. It's a ro'eh bet Yisrael b'yeshuvah. Seeing the settlement of Israel, seeing houses settled, that's when you're supposed to say it. So the Marasha makes a point about this. That's verse 32. Here's Rashi. So Rashi explains this, but the houses b'yeshuvan could go in b'yeshuv bayit sheni, specifically. Rashi is very specific. That's it's talking about this when they came back from the first destruction established by Cheney. That's Bateshra Bushuban. Yihacha Ken Haka, he plays it this way. Mishum de Bechorban by Rishon, that after the first destruction, Yimshlu Israel Almanah. B'nai Israel were this people of Israel called an Almanah, says an Echa, right? Echa Haitaka Almanah. How could they be like an Almanah, like a widow? And when they were redeemed and they came back and rebuilt the Beit Hamikdash, that's Matziv Gvul Almana. That's the Hashem returned, set the boundaries of this Almana and basically brought her back. That's what the Beit Hamikdash meant. Lafuke, that comes to exclude Begalut Hashta. So when Galut now, this is the Maharsha writing this in the 1500s. That now we can't say that. Ein ze mikre batei Yisrael b'yishuv. We can't say that we are settled in any way, given the Beit Hamikdash charav, because the Beit Hamikdash is still destroyed. Lo yashayach be mitziv glu amana. We can't say that. We can't say the bracha because we're still in Galut. Which brings up the evergreen question of what's the status of the yishuv of modern Israel? Does that count? We see that as Hashem Meshiv Yetziv Gvul Amana, or not. This was an article actually, by a conservative rabbi in Israel named Rabbi Golinkin, but asking a question about Nachem. You say Nachem on Tisha B'Av, right? About how Israel is destroyed and all the cities are in ruins. Can you say that today? Right? What's the national bird of Israel? It's the building crane, right? I mean, there are always plenty of, plenty of settlements there, plenty of building, always building there. People are living there. Should we say it? Should we change that? And this was a response by Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Rav Kook's son. He was asked in Tammuz of 5727 in 1967, there was room to change things regarding Tisha B'Av following the Six-Day War. The answer is that in general, there is no room for changes. Growing nothing, he was of the opinion that it was impossible to determine changes for the public. But if a certain group of people or individuals feel that they are unable to say these phrases about national humiliation and they wish to omit them, it's not terrible and we will not object. You want to change nothing, you can do that. Don't make a big deal about it. However, in 1972, he was asked again, replied at that point that Jerusalem is considered despised and desolate still, as long as the temple is not built, where the essence of Jerusalem is the temple. So according to that opinion, no, you shouldn't dare, you still should not be saying Metzir Gvul Amana, rather. Because we're still not that state. So I want to tell you what you should do. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Sure, there are people who would still say that. Look at Yerushalayim and see it. You come up to the Baruch Haba sign, you say Metzir Gvul Amana. But that's not the way I would address it. Read these Psukim, because I'm reading Sefer Mishlei as a book of religious ethics. So I take this Yetziv Gvul Amana as supporting the widow as a statement of facts. God take care of the widow. That's true. God takes care of all the oppressed. And he says that Tehillim, Hashem, Yoshomer, Gerim, Yotam, Va'almana, Yoded. God guards the strangers and supports the orphan, the widow, Derech Shem Yavet, and warps the ways of the wicked. And so when the pasuk says, Yetziv Gvul Amana, Shem will protect the widow, and Tovat Hashem Machshor Ra'ah, I read that as, but evil thoughts are hated by God. Meaning, despite the fact that God's taking care of the widow, you still need to take care of the poor and oppressed. You can't say God will take care of it. Hashem says, right, along with Hashem taking care of the Almanav Yatom, they're commanding, Kolman Almanav Yatom Lo Ta'anun, don't oppress the poor, the widow and the orphan. If you do oppress them, as soon as they call out to me, I will definitely hear their cry. And I will become furious. I will kill you all with a sword. Your wives will be widows, and your children will be orphans. You can't say God will take care of this. We've quoted this Baal Shem Tov many times. Then, case of Gmil Chasadim, interpersonal ethics, we need to be atheists. This is a Chota Baal Shem Tov. This is the story that's brought down in Pardes Yosef, which was a collection of stories about Baal Shem Tov from one of his disciples. Yes, Baal Shem Tov. Hadaleta Bechulin Kuftet. Doesn't it say in the Gemara Nechulin? Koma de Asar Shari Kenegdo. Talk about kosher food and non-kosher food. It says a non if there's a non-kosher food, there's a kosher food out there that tastes like it. You're not going to miss anything. You can get fake crab and bacos and all those other things. Trader Joe's spicy tortilla chips if you want Takis, right? You're not going to miss anything by keeping kosher. Gemara Nechulin says that there's equivalence for all the non-kosher. You can taste forbidden things. So they asked him, "Be'eza ofen mutar kefira?" So I want a taste of heresy. Not going to be a heretic for a day. And he answered, "Bitzdaka." The answer is you should be a kofir. You should be an atheist. You should deny God's providence when you're giving tzedakah. Lo tamar leni. You shouldn't tell the poor person. Yeah, you'll be tachom, but yazor Hashem. Don't say, "Have faith in God. God will help you." Raktiya kofir botosha. You should be a heretic at that moment, but tasa lo kol masha biyadcha. Do whatever you can. That's what Hashem's telling you. Right? God takes care of things, but for your sake, you need to make sure you're taking care of others. And if you don't, if you're only interested in your profit, it says, Ocher beito botzei abatzar. I'll translate that here. He that is greedy of gain and troubleth his own house. Right? You're destroying your own home by doing that. And that's, you kind of lose that olam haba. That betzah, this idea of wanting profit in Tanakh is inherently wrong, but it's amoral, which inevitably leads to evil if you're not being careful. Again, that same, well, the same story of selling Yosef into slavery. use the term betza. When the brothers are sitting down, by shvu lechem, by sunahem, they sat down to eat and they raised their eyes by you and they saw hinei orcha yishmaelim. There's a caravan of Arabs ba'a migilad that was coming from Gilad, lame nasot nachim balot in there with the camels carrying balm and wax. Lo rim is trying to go down to Egypt. So Yehuda says to his brothers, Ma betza, there's that word. What profit will we have, if we kill our brother, damo and hide his blood? Let's sell him. We'll get that betza, we'll get that profit. And in our hands will be clean. He's our brother. He's our flesh and blood. Or beginning of Mishlei itself, the first parak, it talks about not hanging out with evil people. Don't go with them. Keep your feet from going on that path. This is the way that it ends. This is where the path ends for anyone who's botzeah betzah, who's only interested in profit, only interested in making money, and nefesh b'alav yikach, and that ends up taking the life of it, of their owner, of the soul's owner. It just consumes you. And in Tehillim it says, "Ki Hillel Rasha al tavat nafsho." The Rasha praises whatever he wants, things he wants. Ubetz botzeah berach nietz Hashem. Literally, the one who is botzeah, who has this ill-gained profit, berach, who says a bracha nietz Hashem, is really scorning God. Gemara says on this, Tanya, Abelaz ben Yaakov Omer, Harei shegazal sa'a shel chitin. If you steal a bushel of wheat, tachna, ground it, lasha, kneaded it, afa, baked it, refish me achala, you separate challah from that, ketzim. How can you say a bracha on that challah? Into mevarach el manat. It's not blessing God. It's not a bracha. It's manat. It's scorning God. That's what it means. If you're interested if you're just interested in the betza, saying a bracha doesn't help. God rejects that. You need to avoid that. The orachot of kol botzei betza that way, and go on the orach chaim lamala on a path that continually moves you further and further up, eventually achieving the olam haba and avoiding the sha'ol. We'll stop here. And we'll continue next week.
Thanks, Dan.